40 hours we have prayed, it's not enough. We have prayed enough 40 hours. It's just enough for us to just come to church and start service. We have prayed enough for 2 months. We still pray. Unfortunately for you, 40 hours happened as part of December. So January, we have never started our own prayer time. Hallelujah. So don't be tired of praying, okay? All right, let's have our seats. Come forward. See everyone. Praise God. Okay, pick up your Bibles. And your books. With your pen. Or it's just a brief charge, exhortation, instruction. I don't know the name you're going to call it. It's not too detailed. To remind ourselves again of something very basic and fundamental. Are we ready? All right. So we'll be looking at a thankful heart. I know Ife has been disturbing everybody that today is Thanksgiving Sunday. Last Sunday, that's be Thanksgiving. Anyway, I don't know if it's by prophecy or by word of wisdom or word from knowledge, but today we'll just look briefly at a thankful heart. That does not mean that's what is happening today's service. It does not mean that today is Thanksgiving service. Okay? All right. Are we good? All right to go? All right. We'll just look at what is Thanksgiving according to scriptures. When we say Thanksgiving, it simply means gratitude. To be grateful. To be grateful. Especially directed to God as an act of worship or reverence. Act of gratitude, or to be grateful, directed to God as an act of worship or reverence. So, once you say thanksgiving, or give thanks, or be thankful, the next natural question that comes is, for what? What should we be thankful for? Especially persons that are in their circumstances, they don't see, once you're saying be thankful or be grateful, it looks like you're telling them something out of the blues. Next thing is, what am I to be grateful for? Things, this happened to me. Why should I be grateful? Why? Okay, of course, we know that we're not as mere men, or we're not as carnal people, or we're not unbelievers. In everything we do, even in Thanksgiving, we have specific purpose, we have a specific focus, we have specific reasons why we do it. We don't just do things carelessly. Today, we just look at few reasons or instances of scriptures that shows what we ought to be grateful for. Remember when we talked about testimony time, and we're talking about what people count as testimony, what they come here to say, praise the Lord, brethren, today the Lord has done this one. Right now, I used to drive a Beetle, Volkswagen Beetle before, but now the Lord has blessed me with 2 Range Rovers Sport Evoque convertible, 1 white and 1 color red. So, glory to God. So once they say that, everybody's like, we worship you, man. That is what, if that kind of thing has not happened to a person, they don't see that, they don't see anything else as a testimony. And of course, we corrected that, and we saw from scriptures what a believer should consider as testimony, right? They will go look from scriptures again what we should consider things worthy of giving thanks for. Of course, we'll first of all start from what we have in Christ. Thanksgiving is something that must be reflected in every area of the believer's life. And one of the major things we must always be grateful for is what we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Glory to God. Are we there? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:57. For thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Apostle Paul was talking about the corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and the fact that at the end of the day, even physical death will be swallowed up in victory. And then he said, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. That means because of what God has done in Christ, we are assured of victory. We are assured that no matter what happens in this earth, that we will have an immortal body. We are assured that even in our physical trials and persecutions, we will have the victory because it is through Christ Jesus. And that is something to be thankful to God about. 2 Corinthians 2:14. A lot of scriptures that talk about that, but we'll just see a few so we can move on. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Are we there? Okay. Now, thanks be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. So this is Paul's one of Paul's examples of giving thanks to God. He said, God always causing us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And furthermore, he talked about what God is using him to do. That is diffusing the knowledge of Christ Jesus in every place. And that was something to be grateful for. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1:12. Are we there? 12-14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we see a fundamental thing: a believer must always be thankful for, always be grateful for, must always show appreciation for is what God has done in him through Christ Jesus. Everything that we have in Christ, but you know, we talked about, I think, why we sing during that, we talked about all what we call the finished work of Christ, all that God through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection has achieved and accomplished in man. So it encompasses a lot. The abilities we have, the permanent indwelling of the Spirit, the forever presence of the Holy Spirit in us, everything, the fact that you're a new creature, it is a lot to be thankful for. So even if there are no other things, of course there are other things, but number one, primarily, we must always express thanks to God for this. Another thing we should also be thankful for is prayers. I know many of us don't see prayers, or we don't, as we really associate Thanksgiving with prayers. Or when we were growing up, with the prayer, Thanksgiving was the first part of the prayer, introduction of the prayer. We say, before we want to start praying, in Jesus' name, oh Father, we thank you, especially for the morning devotion. We now thank God for keeping you, for making you wake up that morning, that you did not die in your sleep, that, that early morning, that's a pattern, sha, early morning devotion. So you've everything you have prayed, and then you start after you have finished that one, you've given God his dues. Then most people just move on to confession of sins, and then they just after that, the last time making petition. So, but even though we might look at that as a ritual, but it's actually true. We are supposed to always associate Thanksgiving with prayers. I know sometimes your mind might not go to that area, especially when we are praying long stretch of prayers like we did over the weekend. So you're praying, you're tired. There's nothing to give thanks for. You just want the prayer to end. And some of you want to see that it's 10 minutes ago. That's when you just say, okay, oh, Father, we thank you. We have prayer should always be done with an attitude of thanksgiving. Colossians 4, you see the lot. Prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving, praying with thanksgiving. A lot of scriptures saying that when you're praying, it should always be associated with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So, you pray with thanksgiving, always. Thanksgiving is not an introduction of the prayer. It is the heart and the attitude you must have throughout your prayer schedule or throughout the prayer time. Why? Because we know, if for nothing else, we know that whatsoever we ask, we have the petition that we desire of him. Do you understand? So for that assurance alone, for the fact that you don't need an intermediary to go to God, for the fact that you can pray, you have direct access to God as your Father, for the fact that you are assured that your prayer is not entering voicemail, that God hears you, for the blessing of tongues, it should always be at the backdrop of your mind every time you're praying, and you should see prayer as an activity of thanksgiving, not a boredom, not a chore, not a workload, but with prayer, thanksgiving and prayer like this, they always go hand in hand. First Timothy, 2:1. Just read that quickly before we go on. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So you see, they're associated again with prayer. As you're praying intercession, we're praying intercession and supplication with giving of thanks for all men. Never pray without having that at the back of your mind, that you should always pray with thanksgiving. Okay, another thing we should be, Philippians, let's look at Philippians 4:6, this is the last one in associated with prayer. Philippians 4:6. Are we there? Philippians 4:6. Aji, are you there? Write fast and open. Philippians 4:6. We have to read this together. Okay? Let's go. Once you go, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So see Apostle Paul giving direction that when it comes to prayer, no matter how stressed you are, or no matter how burdensome the challenges, or you're trying, you know, you're trying to pray through maybe a challenge that you're having, Paul said that all your requests should be made with thanksgiving. Never get to the point where you just, you're not thankful, or you're not having that attitude of gratitude or in reverence to God when you pray. Okay, we'll see even something as mundane as eating. We see a lot. I don't even want to go there. A lot of scriptures in the Gospels. You see the Bible record of Jesus. He gave thanks and broke bread. He gave thanks and broke bread. I know that attitude is now, they used to, when we were growing up, that was the number one thing our parents tried to entrenched in us or something. But growing up and all the in Christ realities have made a lot of persons forget that. So when you want to pray, once the food just comes before you, oh, glory to God. And then you're just in a hurry to eat it. They're blessed. Yeah. So people will go as far as say, plus Jesus, my Satan, those nonsense things they say. But our food should always be received with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You should be grateful for that. Every time, Jesus gave us a pattern, an example. Every single time the Bible recorded that he was going to eat, he received, he took it and gave thanks. It doesn't take anything from you. It just shows gratitude. We just look at something. 1 Timothy 4:3. Paul was reprimanding a set of persons, and he said they speak lies, of forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You see that? So people, when you are scared, especially I was having a conversation with some persons in my house some days back, and they were talking about how not being able to eat certain kind of things. Can you see it here? Yeah? That every creature, every meal is supposed to be received of God. How, Buki? With thanksgiving. Very good. So nothing should be refused. Let's read the verse 4 again. I think we some persons need to hear that. 1 Timothy 4:4. All right, Buki, I want to hear your voice loudest. All right, let's go. For every creature. I can't hear her. She's not reading. All right, let's be fast. Buki, want to go? For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So it must not be refused. Never let food be given to you and you are saying, what is this one? I don't know what it is. I'm only used to a goosey and a bar. So if you give me a mala, this one, I can't eat it. No. Even people will say, I can't eat pork, or I can't eat snail, or I can't eat periwinkle. What are you? Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Or you're an idol worshiper? Are you worshiping snails? Every creature and nothing to be received. All you have to do is to receive it with thanksgiving. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, so that's an attitude we must have towards eating. Everything, receive it with thanksgiving, and it is blessed. All right, concerning spiritual growth, Colossians 2, Colossians 2:7. That we are growing in the word, that we are steadfast in the word is something to be thankful about. That our hearts and minds are steadfast in the word is something to be thankful about. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you must associate thanksgiving and gratitude in your growing up spiritually. You must not see it as something hectic, as the fact that the Bible says, abound in it with thanksgiving. So you are in the place of much teachings. You are told to sit down and learn for 3 hours, 4 hours. You are told to pray for 30 hours. You are bound in it. How? With thanksgiving. You don't do it grudgingly. You don't do it with your mind not being there. No, you are grateful for it because you know what the impact it will have in you. All right, so another thing we should be thankful for is we should be thankful for fellow believers. For fellow believers. Romans 16:4. Romans 16:4. Believers are God's gift to us. We must treat them as such and be thankful for them. Romans 16. Okay, let me read from verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now you see Paul expressing gratitude for these men and their labor in ministry with him. You see it in many of his letters. This one has helped me. This one, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for Timothy. I'm grateful for Titus. So that must be an attitude you must always have. You cherish believers and you are thankful for them. Do you understand? So don't associate a believer. This one is always troubling me. We know that there are times they trouble you. There are times they will do everything. In fact, take all you have and everything. But you must still be worth thankful for them. Have you heard? Good. Don't let it get to the point where you start seeing believers as burdensome to you. No, you must always be grateful. Then for your disciples, those that are growing in the word, the fact that they are learning, that they are getting better, you must also be thankful for them. First Thessalonians. This is just an introduction. So we have to be fast. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, there are a lot of instances, so I think we'll just read Ephesians 1, since we always read that every time we come to church. Ephesians 1:16. Okay. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So, I see how Paul, there are other letters, you tell, sometimes you say, I rejoice over you with joy. I'm giving thanks for you. I'm praying for you. That should be an attitude you have towards your disciples, towards persons you're bringing up in the world. So the fact that they are learning the world should be something you always find to be grateful. When you combine all these things we just said, you realize that there is no point, or there's no time you should not be thankful. Is that correct? So we see now that the thanksgiving, all the things that we have in scriptures to be thankful for, it's not tied to what you have in your account balance. It's not tied to the provisions that you have. No. A believer, you are not of this world. Your affection is not here. So your priorities are also different. You do not just wait to see something tangible, or in quotes, what is tangible to them that you can physically see to be thankful. No. We have several things we are supposed to be thankful for spiritual growth, for other believers, in meals that we received, whatever it is, in prayers. Thanksgiving is the constant attitude of a believer. The believer is always to express thanks to God in everything and for everything. Now, let's bring it home for us personally. What are we grateful for this year? We are supposed to be grateful for believers that you have met this year. He's amongst us. Some of you last year, you didn't know many of the persons you knew here. If you know that you just knew some persons here this year, or you just got to know some believers this year, can I see your hand? The believers you just got to know here this year. And I see your hand. If I said it was this year, we would got to know you. But most of you, it was this year, we also got to know you. So are you grateful for these associations? This, for believers you get to meet this year, for the input that they've had in your life, is something to be grateful for. So as you end the year, you reflect back. this person has been a blessing to me. Ah, if I had not known Buki, where would my life have been? If Ijoma had not come, who would I be making fun of? If I had not met Stephen, how can I be hacking people? There are some things you should just be grateful for people. Hallelujah. So for believers you met this year, you must be grateful for your church, for the progress we have made. At least this year we moved to another venue. We had a more comfortable, those are persons looking for comfort, for carnal things. If you want to see that as something to be grateful for, of course, you should be grateful for that. But also that this year we have taught the world a lot. You know, we are doing a summary of what the sermons we have had this year, and it was seriously a lot. It was a lot. That is almost over 200 messages. And in just a Sunday and Wednesday teaching, well, supposedly, of course, we know that. That is beyond that. But we are able to bring out that. A lot, over 200. It is something to be grateful for, that you are well-fed, that your church is sound and consistent in doctrine, that we are not, the church is not using you for experiments or to fleece you, but know that you are in a place where the word is being taught. It is something to be grateful for. The fact that your church has drilled you in prayers. The fact that you at least if you could pray 36 hours last year, can I see your hand? Nobody. Emojis. Terrible. 2 hours, that was your maximum last year. You see? So you should just stand up and shout hallelujah, IJ. Very good. That is it. So it's not a burden. This is something that you should be grateful for. The fact that your church has drilled things into you, that we have learned out the necessity of prayer, that even though you are tired, your back wants to break, whatever it is, you will still stay there and pray. It is something to be grateful for. Then, of course, for the progress of the saints, for people that you see and say, when I met Brother Moses, he did not know how to quote John 3:16. But now, Moses is scoring 17 exams. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. No, I know you know how to quote John 3:16. I'm just teasing you. When we met Stephen knew nothing apart from doing fine boy. You see him wearing glasses. You think he's medicated. No, he always wears it even in his sleep. But it was just as a fashion. It's a fashion accessory. But today, Stephen knows more than fashion. At least even though he grumbles in prayer, he will still come and pray. So it is something to be grateful about. And we believe that next year, Stephen will not be grumbling in prayer. Rather, when he comes to pray for the full 36 hours, Stephen will be on his feet. He will not sleep. And yet he will be jumping and abounding in thanksgiving. That is how we treat saints. Hallelujah. Okay, let me calm down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, so that's you're thankful for personally for us here. The things we should be grateful for. We are grateful for saints. We are grateful for believers we have met this year. We're grateful for what our church has accomplished in us. All right, so you know, a lot of things. Many persons, they only go to church 2 Sundays in a year. Some people, you hear them say, now only 2 Sundays they go to church. Which one? Last Sunday of the year? No, so they don't go to church first Sunday. That's New Year Eve, what, 9th, except the church is not over here. Just that they'll cross over into church. But that last Sunday, at least, let us go and thank God for all that he has done for us this year. Why? Most reasons do not exceed the fact that we are alive. Why? People died. As I was coming back from this, I see accident, people died. This one. Even my neighbor, I saw somebody after many years in law school, the day the person received certificate, and the trainer just crushed him and he just died. Oh, Betray, who are you? Well, but you are nothing but pencils in the hand of the living God. If it is not for God, so you just say, you're not kneel down. Oh, Lord. And then after that, they zoom off. It goes beyond being grateful for life. Believers must know that life is for a reason. So when you are grateful for the fact that your life is spared and you are alive, you must take it a step further to know that my life is spared so that I can do more for ministry. Do you understand? Philippians? Philippians 1. As believers, we must view life for what it really is. An avenue, an opportunity to serve God. Philippians 1. So I'm not saying it's wrong to be thankful for life. No. Of course, you should be grateful for preservation, for being spared. But you must understand the reason why you have the life. Verse 20, Philippians 1, verse 20, we read, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So you see a man that sees life as something with a purpose. He's saying that it is far better for him to just die and go into glory. It's easier. Is it not easier? For at least for Paul, he will not be faced with many of the persecutions he was facing. But rather, he said that he knows that him being alive is more needful for the saints. So because of that, he will stay just so he could do ministry. So that's the mindset with which you face life. You must, it's not, we thank God, we thank God for another year. We thank God that we have been spared, that we are alive. And we thank God because this is an opportunity to do much more. Do you understand it? That's how believers are supposed to be thankful. 2 Corinthians 5. Just see this one briefly again. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. But whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So this is how we must achieve, we must see life. Life is an opportunity. Being alive is an opportunity to live for the one who died and rose again for us. So being alive has a purpose. We must approach life like that. And so it's not wrong to approach a new year with thankfulness or with gratitude. It's not wrong. The only issue is that why are you approaching it like that? So it's not wrong to have a purpose. It's not wrong to have a plan that this year, this is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to do this year. And one major thing we have to keep us in track or to give us a purpose and direction is prophecies. Hallelujah. Prophecies. And of course, we've had a lot on our last Wednesday service was just get with specific prophecies to receive direction for 2019. It gives you something to look forward to. It streamlines your life. It gives you a particular focus. It gives you direction. So you just for example, if somebody comes to you and says, who should I give this prophecy to now? if I come and I just say, Dio, you are a mighty man, used of God. Oh, you'll be used mightily. Across the face of the earth, you are mighty. This will just be working out for you. You will take the gospel to all the ends of the earth. Amen. Has that blessed you? Okay. Now, if I come now and say, Dio, wow, you're an instrument of healing. In the month of January, you have ample opportunities to bless life. You will see different areas will show themselves forth for you to manifest the power of God through healings. Look forward to it. Has that blessed you? What's the difference? And the second one, that's just the difference. So there's nothing wrong in having targeted prophecies towards a particular time frame. It gives you we say prophecies are the foil with which we do battle, right? It's a strength from within. So it gives you focus. In January, you are just expected to be focused. If you're a man that is wise, you're just expected to be looking for those opportunities. And when you see them, you grab it. Why? Because something specific has been said. But if you just have only the general things, there's a tendency to just relax and just be on your oars or something. For example, we know that we should preach the gospel, right? We know we should preach the gospel. Every believer should preach the gospel. Now, without a target, if you won 300 souls this year, can I see your hand? 300. 200. One, as they got saved. Okay. Now, you see the difference between what we did this year and what we should be expected to do next year. You see the difference? So, it gives you, now we have an instruction of how many souls next year and how many persons per month. So that just gives you some, it just gives you direction. So for someone that is wise, and of course with all the prophecies that have come saying that there will be much labor and much more results, what should you be looking forward to? Even if maybe you were preaching to persons this year and they were chasing you up and down and saying, no, we will not accept your gospel, what should you do next year? Do you understand? You have instruction, and then you have the prophecies that tell you that don't worry. In areas where you have been rejected, you receive results. It's for you to take it up and say, this year I'm looking forward to mighty results. That is what prophecies does for you. Okay, I think let's just begin to round up. Actually, we said there's nothing wrong in receiving specific prophecies for a time frame because it gives you focus. First Timothy 1. Why do we cherish prophecies? Why are we focused on prophecies here? Saying that is what gives you direction and focus. Why? 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Let's all open it. I know I've quoted the scripture a lot here, but let's open it. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before, that thou by them might war a good warfare. So it is clear, it is specific, that if you hold on to the prophecies that you have received, if you hold on to the words that has come, you will, by these things, be able to fight a good fight. Prophecies and our work or our labor in the word and in the ministry goes hand in hand. We cannot afford to run devoid of these words. Why? Because we must take these words as divine, as coming from God. Acts 13. The reason why we discard prophecy sometimes or don't give it the importance that we are supposed to give it to is because we are just seeing the persons that is saying it. So, for example, we are doing video and Stephen has been sleeping. We have been disturbing him. Stephen, wake up. It will get to a time that he just spreads cloth and just lies down and build a tabernacle and just sleep. When we finally wake him up and he's able to stand up, and we ask, okay, come and give prophecies. And Stephen carries the microphone and he's giving prophecy. And then he's like, what's this was? When did you, especially when, okay, or maybe you see Pastor Ezekiel, pray, did not sleep. Then Stephen will now come that has been sleeping, hold the microphone. Don't lie. Which of them will you pay more attention to? Benjamin, don't lie. Who will you give more attention to? We don't want that revelation in the dream. that's just the way people see. That's why we discard it. Because you see somebody like, especially somebody that's not been coming to church consistently, or you just come today once a week, comes today on Sundays and comes on Wednesdays, and then you have been here every long stretch of prayers, you're here. And this person, as far as you're concerned, both of you are not in the same level spiritually. And then the person comes and is giving tongues and interpretation, and you're just like, We know. Those are just veteran. We must look beyond the vessel and cherish the words that come forth as from God. Except that person does not have the spirit. Okay. All right. Let's see Acts 13. Acts 13 from verse 1. We always read this to refer to that. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, you know the funny thing? When you read this for the first time without understanding, you will just see the Holy Ghost said. It is easy for you to think, or at least that was what I was thinking years ago. Anywhere I see the Holy Ghost said, I will always see it as a mighty voice from heaven, like the one that said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I was like, that must have been a mighty meeting. As we just pray like this, the Holy Ghost, all of them heard the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a voice. And he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called. These are my chosen vessels. No wonder Paul and Barnabas did the Lord. The Holy Ghost was the one himself that commissioned them. It's the Holy Ghost. No, I'm waiting for that. You're not waiting for the Holy Ghost to also speak concerning your own commission. Men and brethren, we must not be carnal. Who was the Holy Ghost speaking here? Who was the Holy Ghost? Stephen? Stephen was the Holy Ghost that was speaking here. So now see, verse 3, look at verse 3 and 4 again. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So men sent them away, and the Bible records that they were sent by the Holy Ghost. Of course, how did the instruction come? Through prophecy. One person or two persons, just maybe there were different confirmation. The person said, for example, now the way we just pray yesterday, and then we just see, ah, glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Stephen, Sokoto call it. Ah, Stephen, Sokoto, the Lord will use you mightily. You know, you must not discard that. You are supposed to carry your bag and do what? Sokoto. That is why I told you why, oh Jesus. Learn from the scriptures, brethren. Learn. For example, Raphael. Ah, Bauchi. Bauchi. The Lord is saying that Bauchi needs to be saved. Bauchi. Yeah, simply to just, you don't need extra Holy Ghost. You don't need extra things. No confirmation. Whereas you are saying it, somebody else is rejoicing on behalf of you and receiving the word. You just take your bag and say, okay, Lord, let us go. Hallelujah. That is the exact way these people were sent. Or you take it a different way. It's not a different way. It's the same thing. Prophecy came forth and said, these people are needed here. They will take the gospel. And then they just said, let us go. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost. So we must esteem prophecies as words of God. As words bettered by the Spirit. Otherwise, we will not honor it. We will not have the adequate response. We will not respond as we should. If we keep seeing it as, okay, it's just this person talking. Maybe it doesn't like me. Or it's true. You know, Pastor, as Pastor, you might be thinking, ah, this one that this prophecy, I know. It's because Pastor mentioned Sokoto while he was doing church plan. That is why he's not saying that on my head. I beg you. I know we'll still serve the Lord. Even if the Lord is saying it's not now, we still need to grow. You know, you'll just be analyzing and commenting. Ah, why? Why are you doing that? Because you do not treat it as the word from God. You are seeing it as somebody that is standing here and telling you. Let's have a change of attitude next year as we go forward towards the year. Any word that comes forth, prophecy, all noise. And that's why we're saying when we give the general prophecies, you must now go further as a believer that knows what he's doing. So now look for your own specific role. General prophecies come forth. You must pray for that to say, okay, what is my own role here? What will I do? What part will I play? Because who is going to carry out the prophecy? Is it angels? It's men, it's you. What God have come for that the word of God from us will spread through me now. Who will be the instrument of that? So immediately you hear the word, the next thing you go for that, wow, what is my role in this? How can I benefit? How can I be a part of it? That is a believer that honors prophecy. Let us look at what some persons did in Acts. Acts 11. Verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood by up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great death, that's famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You see their quick response to prophecy. A word came forth that famine will come. They did not just say like, oh, okay, you are done with your own, move on to the next person. They took action. They took steps. And that it is the way you respond, or it's the actions that follow the prophecies that you hear that determines whether you honor it or not. So this man received just, there was no famine at that point. Yet they prayed and they still carried relief, gathered money because of the word they heard. So prophecies are what is supposed to define our movements. Pause in the, as it directs us, give us direction, make us know what to do. That is what prophecies are for. If they are not doing that in your life, it means you are disdaining it. It means you are not treating it as you ought to. So, in closing, there are things we've received specific things for this year. I beg you all, look for how to download that. If the audio is not available online, look for how to download or watch the video and do script by script transcription. Let it be something you read at least a week. Let the words that you hear, let them spur you on. For example, I don't expect a member of this church now, next year, to disdain the company of believers. How many times was it said here that we should watch our associations, right? And that we should look within and we'll find strength within and not disdain what we have. It did not come from almost five persons. So it would be foolish for anybody, right, next year to be facing challenges and then you are going out for support or for counsel or for advice. It means you are just giving yourself to the voice of rebellion. Simple. It means you did not treasure the words that have come. It has come forth to warn you that this will happen. There will be a lot of challenges or persons trying to pull your relatives, friends. And then we've said, another word came forth by Michael, that the gospel will still be able to do much more in spite of challenges and persecutions, right? Now, even Champion said that you have to look beyond men, the favor of men, physical resources to be able to do ministry. Meaning that some persons will face the challenge where because of money, they would might need to twist some things. So when you see, those things should always be at the back of your mind. So that when it comes, immediately you know that, I've been warned. I've been warned. So ensure that you keep these things at the back of your mind. We have talked about prayer. We've talked about honoring veterans, honoring our associations. All these things, please pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Honor these family units much more. Do not go to persons that do not understand your training to look for assistance and counsel. Also, I just specifically said that the Edifying Assembly will be more of a training school, right? Training school. So what should you do? Look forward to all your assessments and your tests and all your exams with joy and look for more. Why? Because it is a training school, meaning that there will be much more trainings, much more, much more, much more. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Much more training. You understand how we write exams there. You should, that is the joy with which you should look forward to exams. You understand, Moses? Are you ready for your exams today? You are supposed to say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. That's how you look forward to it, so you receive it with joy. Huh? The instruction has come forth. It means training will not stop. Oh. It's not going to stop. So if you are thinking, it will multiply. So in case you are still trying not to do your training now, say, okay, they will get tired in 2 years' time. They will be tired. They will not move on to higher things. They will be tired. The training will not stop. Oh. The Divine Assembly is a place for training. So those words are what we run with and will not lose track of it. Hallelujah. All right, so finally, we are grateful men. We give thanks always. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Know what? Why I link this to prophecies? Because one of the ways to honor prophecies is if you respond to prophecies very well, it shows that you are grateful for it. It shows that you appreciate the words that have come forth. It shows that you are appreciative of the fact that the Holy Ghost gave you direction, gave you things to look forward to. So by handling this properly, it shows gratefulness. It shows gratitude. You know that being unthankful. Let me just say this as in passing. Being unthankful is one of the characteristics of unbelievers. Of the man in the flesh. You know that, right? Romans 1. Remember those scriptures? Okay, Romans 1. They said I should stop assuming that people know it. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. 20 and 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are characteristics describing men without God, the lifestyle of a man without God. These are the characteristics. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. These are the attributes of a man without Christ. So it must not be named in a believer. The believer must be one that is always thankful. Always thankful. Always. I know some persons might find it difficult. You give them something and they are, because of this sense of entitlement, you can give somebody a 200 naira or 500 naira or even five, like somebody that wanted to ask for money which day, I like, please just give me money small. We don't have money. Ordinary 10,000. Just 10,000. I suppose I was looking at 10,000. So 10,000 is now just. It's well, if it's just, why don't you have it now? And that's the best way you give that kind of person 2,000. They'll be like, So, and if they will say thank you again. Okay, this is all you can. Okay, all right. Okay, no problem. No problem. All right. That is not your believer. The believer is always, always thankful. Okay, where are we going to read? 1 Thessalonians, right? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians, let us show us our reality. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God's pleasure, God's inclination is that you are always thankful. Always, always. Ephesians 5:4. Always thankful. Your thankfulness is not tied to circumstances, just like joy. You are always thankful. Ephesians 5:3-4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving all thanks. So when a person is always grateful, when a person sees the avenues to give thanks in every situation, there will be less gossip, there will be less anger, there will be less backbiting. Do you understand? So rather, as a believer, what is your nature, or what you should always be doing, is thanksgiving. Okay, the last scripture, let's see, Ephesians 5, the same, okay. Ephesians 5, we are really out of time. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have to Colossians 3:15-17, they're there talking about the fact that you should always, always give thanks. So that is the instruction or the charge for this morning. Thanksgiving is not for a limited part of the year. It's not for a certain part of the year. It's not for special events. Rather, it is your life, your lifestyle. Always find, so always have that consciousness to be grateful. First of all, for all that God has done for you in Christ Jesus, for saints, for believers, for everything, anything at all, the scriptures, always be thankful. Have we learned? Hallelujah. All right, so let's sing this song together. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. I know you say we don't dance here. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. You know, this is a song that truly reflects what God did in salvation. You know what the gates of brass are? Brass is something that is very, very, almost impenetrable. But God has broken that gate, that thing that looks almost impossible, and he has cut the bars of iron asunder and broke it into two. So there is no, what God did, in fact, Bible says that if God gave us, or if God could give us Christ, how could he not also with him freely give us all things? So all things have been given in association with Christ. If God could not withhold Christ, it means he withheld nothing. So because of that, the believer has this, you just see things as possible, that there's no impossibility, that God, you see God as loving. You see God as, wow, a lot. So that is what influences your heart of thanksgiving. So let's sing the song again one more time. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Glory to God. all right, so we have 10 minutes break. Just tell a believer you are grateful for him. The people that have troubled you this year, thank them for troubling you. Please welcome Brother Andrew. We've not seen him almost a year. So we are happy to. Some of you don't know him. Ijoma, do you know Brother Andrew? Oh, no. Okay. All right, so welcome, everyone. Welcome, somebody.